Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
It's the greatest nation God ever blessed. Welcome to a Friday edition of the Todd Starnes Show, coast to coast on more than 100 outstanding radio stations. And streaming live at ToddStarnes.com. Hello, fellow patriots. I'm Jeff Stein, coming to you from the free state of Iowa and my home base at News Talk 1540 KXEL in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo. The 50,000-watt blowtorch scorching middle America with accurate news and reasonable views, and it's my privilege to speak to you again today, Starnes Nation. Todd continues his work with young people in California. Yesterday, I believe he was speaking at a college. Today, a high school conference there at the Reagan Ranch. Again, spreading the message of common sense conservatism. Sometimes you can do it through this microphone, and sometimes you need the retail politics. So I'll try to keep things above ground here while he's doing that important work there. Mr. Starnes will be back with you from the Liberty University studio on Monday. We invite you to join this national conversation by calling toll-free 844-747-8868. Again, that's 844-747-8868. Grace will take the call. Let me know you're there. Kevin will push the right buttons, and we'll talk to you, and you can share your views with America. Coming up at the bottom of this hour, we'll talk with an expert on money and personal finance, financial journalist Jordan Goodman. We're going to talk about the action taken by the Fed this week and why it just may not matter in terms of resolving our overall economic issues. That's coming up at the bottom of this hour. If you're able to be with us for all 3 hours, and we surely hope that you are with us for all 3 hours, hour number two, we'll speak with Congresswoman Kat Kamick from the state of Florida, also author Jason Riley. Jason Riley is the author of a book entitled The Black Boom, and it has all statistics and accurate information about the Trump era and how that impacted people of color in this country. And here's a hint, it's not the mainstream media narrative. This is actually fact-based, and we'll talk with Jason Riley about that. That's coming up in hour number two. And, of course, your calls at 844-747-8868. So the president of the Ukraine had a conversation with NBC News. And he made a number of statements that I think are worthy of our examination as we begin this Friday edition of the Todd Starnes Show. First of all, I was asked about this earlier in the week, and if I did not get into it yesterday, I want to take a little time here. Let's really hand it to President Zelensky for being a master of the media. Now, we know that he was a performer before he became a politician, a political figure. I don't want to call him a politician. That's a derogatory word. He is a political figure in any event. The way that he spoke to Congress on that video, and there was three parts to that video presentation. The first, where he is speaking, but it's through a translator. Second, the video of the atrocities. And third, him then making a presentation in English to the members of Congress. Now, here is why I have great admiration for the crafting of the message. In that introductory part, he was calling on members of Congress and, of course, the American people watching. And, of course, the world stage watching and listening. But he was calling on America to remember how we felt with Pearl Harbor, how we felt with 9/11, and then drew parallels. But that was done through the translator, who was a female. Now, I have spoken with people who said they thought that was odd. You see a male on the screen, but you hear a female's voice. I was here at my radio station. We had it on the air live, and it was very effective for me because I only heard it. I did not see it. My contention is that having the translator with a female voice softened the potentially harsh message and made it more approachable for the audience. Now, you may say that's sexist, but I'm just talking about how it might have struck people because you had the softer voice. Then contrast that with the video, very stark video, stuff that you would not see on American television in the news coverage. And that's exactly why he showed it, because he knew it was a news event and everybody would be covering it on air, online, and they could not break away from what he was showing, those images. Again, you wouldn't see it on the mainstream media channels. This was his way to get those images out there. So he and his team, again, in the face of all manner of adversity, that was a masterful stroke. And then when he made the final pitch, it's almost like a sales call. He's making the final pitch. He's asking for the deal. And he speaks in English to the American people and to Congress. I thought it was just a tremendous, tremendous use of the skills that he attained over the course of time. So now he does an interview with, I guess, Lester Holt of NBC, where he says, you don't know it, but World War III may have already started. I thought it was very important for those who know a little about history, but not enough about history. For example, we in this country tend to say World War II was between 1941 and 1945. Why? Well, Pearl Harbor, December 7, 1941, up until the surrender of the Japanese on the USS Missouri in September of 1945. There, that was the war. No, that was America's active involvement in the war. The war, quote unquote, had been going on for years before that. Reading any measure of history will remind us that Churchill had been urging the Americans, urging Roosevelt to get involved. And without turning this into a history lesson, that's where we got lend-lease programs, et cetera, as Roosevelt was trying to help Europe without dragging the U.S. into war, officially. But if you want to look at the time period of the global Second World War, it was raging well before 1941. So that's the point that we're getting at here, is that you don't really have a starting point. There's no official start to the conflict. There was for the U.S. getting in December 7, but we were already sort of in. So this is what Zelensky is pointing out. We won't know until some period of time later. Will history look at this as the start of World War III? Will our grandchildren read in history books, provided that they're still allowed to independently think and read? I have no idea about books. Will they learn that the Russian invasion of Ukraine was the start of the Third World War? He makes that point so that we all understand that we are on the precipice here. And if we want to change the course of history, we being now anyone in the world, then it's going to require some measure of action. The trick is what action and at what place. But I thought it was fascinating for him, as bombs are raining down all around, to have the foresight, he and his team, because it's a team effort, to say to the world, you all keep talking about we want to prevent World War III. It may have already started. And we won't know that until later. So maybe we should consider the fact that if we don't want an official start to the war, well then maybe, we should take some action. Obviously, there's a paralysis within the White House. we don't have the sort of front leadership. We have, quote, leading from behind. Not forward leadership, backward leadership, which is not leadership. It's a paradoxical phrase, quite obviously. When Congress is pushing harder on this. Now, I have read many bits of spin from Democrat House organs saying, no, actually, Biden is masterful in this. You just don't know what's going on behind the scenes. No, I don't, but I have no confidence based upon what I have seen in front of the camera, not behind the scenes. I have no idea what's going on behind the scenes, but there is nothing they're doing that leads me to believe that America is a leader on the world stage as Russia and China are working together for their own independent goals. I have no confidence whatsoever that this gang can keep us out of war, and if we're in war, can lead us to victory. Everyone's talking about not going to war. I don't want a war. Certainly not. But it's rather frightening to consider, can we even win a war? Putin sure thought he was going to take Ukraine in a weekend. That didn't happen. Where's our spirit these days? I have no doubt about our fighting men and women. I have grave doubts about their Washington-based suit-wearing leadership. Interested in your thoughts on this? Join in if you would. 844-747-8868. Same number you're used to. If you don't have it written down by your phone or programmed into your little mobile device, you should do it. 844-747-8868. Gene, I'll take your call and yours out there after we take this short break. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Thanks so much for being along on this edition of the Todd Starn Show.
There's no doubt the nation is facing a financial crisis because of the Biden administration's economic policies. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and no doubt our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. Now, if all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It's real, physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold, and they can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship the gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Did you know $1 million worth of gold can actually fit inside a shoebox? Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com.
Welcome back. This is the Todd Starn Show for a Friday. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. So glad you could be along. He is speaking to young people in California and back at the Mighty 990 in Memphis for this program on Monday. 844-747-8868 is the number that you should use to connect. That's the number that Gene the Superfan used. Gene, thanks so much for calling in today. Jeff Stein in for Todd. How are you, sir?
How are you, sir? Nice to talk to you again, Jeff. I believe the last time we spoke, I was at a rally, and I gave a little insight about that.
Yes.
And thank you for the call. And I just want to wish Todd as well. God bless him and what he's doing as well. But if I just can just real quick just talk about this, what you were talking about with this World War III thing and
yes.
things like that. You know, it's all leadership. You know, that's the one thing that, of course, that we're nervous about because what we got as our the leaders. Okay, we know that President Trump, okay, if he was in office, there's none of this nonsense would be happening. Okay, and that's just the bottom line. So we just got to pray. We got to get through this, and he's coming back in 2024. Okay, Jeff, and I also want to bring up another thing too, and I appreciate you letting me talk. But
sure.
President Trump will be in Fort Lauderdale tomorrow for the American Freedom Tour. Okay, and I'm going to be there tomorrow. And I'm going to be looking so forward to that. We're going to have so many guest speakers tomorrow, and it's going to be a wonderful thing. We have Don Jr., we have Candace Owens, we have Don Bongino, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, Kim Guilfoyle and Sheriff Mark Land, plus more. So tomorrow's going to be a wonderful day to be in the same room with our president, Jeff.
Oh, absolutely. Now, do you, when you go to these, Gene, do you post on social media or anything so we can kind of follow along and see what you're seeing?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, usually if it's a Monday through Friday, I've done it before where I speak on the show at the rallies, but obviously it's tomorrow, which is Saturday. But I'm going to call the show and recap as well. But, yes, I do use social media as well for this.
Well, tell me where I can follow you.
Okay, you just go very, very simple. Gene Huber, G-E-N-E-H-U-B-E-R. Okay.
All right.
And that's also, and that's my Facebook, and you'll see me on there. I'm going to do some, you know, maybe some live videos. But most importantly, Jeff, I want to get involved with the media. You know, I want to get my voice out there. I want to show the love and the support for our president. Because our president is the greatest president that we have ever had. And look at it today, okay? To this day, people do flag drops. They have their own events once a month. People meet up. It's nonstop with our president. There's been nothing like it. And that's why President Trump calls us We the People Are Movement, the biggest political movement in history. And he said that since 2015, and it's grew bigger and bigger and stronger because of our messenger, President Trump.
100%. Absolutely. Gene, thanks for calling in. Have a good time at that rally tomorrow in Florida, and I'm sure Todd will look forward to the recap on Monday. Jerry Lynn is in Georgia listening to the great WDUN. Thanks for calling in today. Jeff Stein in for Todd. What's on your mind, Jerry Lynn?
Hey, Jeff. How are you today?
I am better now that you're on the phone.
Oh, I love that grace, I'm telling you, and I love y'all. And I thank y'all for the great work that y'all are doing. But what I wanted to say, Jeff, real quickly is we that did not vote for him knew that he would be a catastrophe, a mess. And I'm telling you, Jeff, that's exactly why Putin did not do any of this while Trump was in there, because Trump, sitting beside Putin, looks like a pillar of strength. Biden looks like a daggum snowman that just melted and the puddle of water sitting there.
Well, I can tell you, all of us who did not vote for the person in the office right now, we were all afraid this was going to happen. Did you think it would be this bad this soon?
I didn't, honestly, Jeff. I knew it would be bad. I knew it would be bad, Jeff. But I did not realize. I'm going to tell you what Trump did. Trump, I'm ashamed to say this, Jeff, but I'm not. I am 60 years old, and for the first time when Trump went in, for the first time, he made me realize what it was to be an American, and he also made me realize the greatness of this country.
There is something. Oh, absolutely. And the thing is, we knew it, didn't we? But we didn't feel it in the same way until he articulated it and made it, if you will, safe to say you were proud of America. That may be one of his lasting legacies, do you think?
And I'm going to tell you, Trump, what Trump did is he exposed. We all knew that that side was corrupt. We just didn't know how far it really went.
That's right.
They are demonic. They are slapped out of the pit of hell. I had a conversation with a man yesterday, Jeff, elderly man, veteran, 78 years old. He said, honey, I've been voting Democrat my whole entire life, but I'm telling you right now, I will never cast another vote for that side, ever.
Well, I tell you, I hope our nation can survive. And Jerry Lynn, thanks so much for taking the call. We've got a break coming up, and I don't want to cut you off in mid-sentence, so we'll leave it there with you. But thank you so much for calling in. I hope we make it to another election. I hope the election is fair, and I hope we're able to recover. But if history can prove that there was one good thing about the Biden election, it was that it exposed these Democrats so that so many people had their eyes open for the next renaissance of this great country. After the break, financial journalist Jordan Goodman will join me. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd. Thanks to all of you for being along on this edition of the Todd Stern Show.
Well, our good friend Mike Lindell is back at it again. Hello, everybody. I'm Todd Starnes. Mike Lindell not only created the best pillow, but now he's created the best towel in the world. That's right. Mike Lindell found the best towel company right here in the USA. They have proprietary technology to create towels that feel soft but actually work. And they're all made with USA cotton. They come with the MyPillow 60-day money-back guarantee. Get this, folks. You're going to get a six-piece set, two bath towels, two hand towels, two washcloths made with USA cotton, soft yet absorbent. Normally $109.99, now just $39.99. All you need to do is go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special, and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the towels. Just enter the promo code STARNS or call 800-839-8506 for these great radio specials. That's 800-839-8506. Use the promo code STARNS.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show on this Friday. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Our guests join us via the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Joining us now is financial journalist Jordan Goodman. You can find him online at moneyanswers.com. Mr. Goodman, thanks for taking the time.
Great to be with you, Jeff.
All right, the Federal Reserve this week did increase interest rates. Tell us why that matters.
So they raised rates by a quarter point. They control what's called the federal funds rate, which is directly tied to the prime rate. So the prime rate went up by a quarter point as well. This is the first time they've raised rates since 2018. They've kept rates at zero for a long time up until now. Zero is kind of an emergency level. And when COVID hit in March 2020, they kind of brought rates down and started buying bonds and flushing the economy with money. Now that things are in better shape, they feel they should start turning the other direction. The reason is inflation, Jeff. I mean, inflation at the consumer level is currently at 7.9%, and the next number we're going to get is clearly well into the eights with just what's happening with gas prices alone. And here they are at a quarter of a percent, so they're way behind the curve here at trying to battle inflation. They also said they're going to raise rates six more times this year. It'd be a total of seven times, and if it's each one's a quarter point, we'll end the year at roughly 2%. That's still way behind the curve if you have inflation at 8% at the consumer level and maybe 10% at the wholesale level.
Do they need to take this measured approach to avoid worse situations coming? In other words, are they taking the right measure, or should it be something much more aggressive?
Well, a lot of people on Wall Street think it should be more aggressive and they should have started much sooner. They just thought that the economy was still fragile with the pandemic being so widespread last year. So that's the decision they made. But as a result of that, inflation got a lot of momentum, and now it's kind of raging at this point. Then you add on top of that the Ukrainian war, which has caused oil prices to spike, and wheat prices. Wheat's a big part of Russia and Ukraine. Fertilizer, all kinds of things, aluminum that we're getting out of Russia, are soaring in price, up 40, 50, 60%. That's going to work its way through the economy as well. My complaint with the Fed is not that they're moving interest rates up, but that the lever that they have is not appropriate or effective in stopping the inflation we have.
All right, talk about that in further detail, because this is not, shall we say, an economic problem solely. This all started because of COVID, et cetera, et cetera. You've
right.
suggested to me previously, therefore, you can't simply use the traditional methods for recovery.
It's like a carpenter with a nail and a hammer. What he's got to push the nail down is the hammer, and that's the only tool he's got.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the only tool the Fed has is interest rates. And as far as I'm concerned, the reason for inflation are commodity prices going up, as we talked about. I mean, oil going from a year ago, it was 30. Now it's 100 or something like that. And wheat and all these other things going up. Raising interest rates does not affect commodity prices in any kind of direct way. The labor shortage. We have over 11 million unfilled jobs in many, many industries. Employers are desperate to hire people. Raising interest rates does not create 11 million people who all of a sudden want to be hired for these jobs. And that causes wage price inflation because people need to get higher wages to attract them. And so that doesn't help that part either. The supply chain disruption, which, as you said, was partly because of the COVID situation. We had the economy shut down quickly. then reopened quickly, the supply chain got all mixed up. And frankly, it's being mixed up even more because of the Russia-Ukraine situation. All kinds of oil is not going where it's supposed to be. Copper, things that are supposed to be out there aren't going where they're supposed to be. So raising interest rates does not affect the supply chain improvement either. So that's why I'm thinking inflation is really going to be here for a while and probably keep rising despite rising interest rates, because what the Fed has as a tool is not appropriate for the problem.
Jordan Goodman is known as America's Money Answers Man. Online, moneyanswers.com. He joins us on the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. So in our remaining 90 seconds or so, what should these entities do in order to help right the situation? If the Fed simply has the hammer and we need something other than a nail to be pounded, what should be done?
Well, in each of those areas, we need help. So supply chain, we've got to build more ports. These do not happen instantly. We need 100,000 new truck drivers to get things around. We need to improve the supply chain disruption that is so virulent right now. We need to hire more workers. We need to bring in more workers. We need to get workers off the sidelines. It's hurting the economy a lot to have these tremendous shortages. I mean, just one example in Iowa alone would be like the meat processing plants. I bet they have big shortages of workers. That affects meat prices going up because the cost, they have to raise more wages. So we need to get the labor situation worked out. So there's a lot of things we need to do. These are long-term situations. The short-term pain is going to be extreme. I mean, we're going to get it well into the eights. I think by the summer, we could get into the 10% inflation. And with the Fed sticking at like 1% interest rates, it's not close to enough to stop the inflation we're seeing raging.
That's not great news, but it, I think, is accurate news because you have foretold so much of this already. Mr. Goodman, thanks for the time. I appreciate it greatly.
Very good. Thank you, Jeff.
Jordan Goodman, he is online at moneyanswers.com, well-known journalist, many years at Money Magazine, author of more than a dozen books on money and personal finance. His website, again, moneyanswers.com. His name, Jordan Goodman. 844-747-8868. That's how you can connect on this coast-to-coast conversation on the Todd Starn Show. Ron is calling in from North Carolina. Ron, thanks so much for taking the time. Jeff Stein in for Todd. What's on your mind today, Ron?
Hi, Mr. Stein. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to ask your opinion on something.
All right.
I can't help but feel like maybe the Democrats have done us a favor and don't even realize it, but had Trump been reelected, I feel that the same old distrust and questionable decisions he was making would have been continuing. However, I feel that because he, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but since the election was stolen, that this has given America time to realize that when Trump was speaking, he was telling the truth. A lot of truth has come out in the last year that people really weren't sure about. So he didn't have the support I feel like he would have had, that he will have in his next term, because now everybody realizes he was telling the truth and he was being, he was having to battle from within his own people, because I think there was a lot of people there that were against him on the inside as well. A lot of that has come out now, and I think that the Congress, you know, you had a lot of congressmen turning their backs on him because they had questions. And now I feel like a lot more people will trust him. What do you think about that? You think maybe they have done us a favor to give a little time for everybody to cool off and let the truth come out about all these questionable things?
Well, I appreciate the question, Ron, but let me ask you one first, and then I'll give you a good response to what you asked. Do you trust this election process? Do you trust that it's going to be fair in 2024?
No, I don't.
See, and this is my problem. No, I agree with you, and this is my problem, too, because we talk about the Democrats are in such dire straits. The White House is a disaster. Pelosi barely has a majority that she cannot keep a grasp on. It's a tie in the Senate except for the tiebreaker. And we talk about this big red wave this year in a midterm election. But if we can't trust the elections, then I just wonder how we can even get to that next point. Did you ever doubt Trump? Did you ever doubt Mr. Trump and what he told you, Ron?
I had questions because a lot of people in those higher physicians do have secrets, and then sure. the more and more that investigated, I mean, you think about it, you had the world's best investigation team, and they've never proved anything, never could come up, you know, so then, yes, at first I did have questions, mm-hmm. I did, but I feel now everything he has said has always been proven, and there was, everything was going so fast in those first 4 years that so many people in the Republican Party were questioning him as well and didn't really know what side of the fence to fall on. They were afraid, most of them were afraid to lose their jobs, honestly, afraid they won't be reelected. So they were questioning which direction they should go in. So, yes, I had questions, but now it's like every time he has said something, it has all turned out to be what he said. Every bit of it has. We talk about the election being rigged and all that. I mean, he called it, you know, and so I can't help but believe that, too. He knows there's something up there that he knows that it just can't be told or whatever. But so that's not going to stop me from voting. You know, it's not going to stop me from, I've been wearing a Trump hat since he came down the escalator.
But, that's a good man. that's a good man. Ron, no, thanks so much for... Go ahead, finish your thought. I'm sorry for jumping in.
No, okay. It's okay. I don't want to take any more of your time. I appreciate it. I just couldn't help. I've never heard anybody mention that on the radio or whatever. But
it's a tremendous point.
I believe he'll do a whole lot better now because he will have the support from the Republican Party that he deserved the first time. I really, you know, they were all turning their backs on him when he got in it because they all had questions. It was all coming so fast, so much. And it's like... Mr. Limbaugh used to say, you lie, lie, lie until it turns into truth, you know, and that's what's happened with the news media. They just keep pushing this agenda. People start believing.
Ron, thank you so much. What a great call from North Carolina today. And I will talk about the point. Is this actually the Trump loss? Is that going to make everyone come together and support him another time? I will tell you what I think, because Ron asked, so I'll be happy to oblige and tell you what I think after we take this break, as we broadcast from the Liberty University studio through the flagship at the Mighty 990 in Memphis. 844-747-8868 is how you can make connection. I'll tell you what I think about Ron's question after this break. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Thanks for being along on the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back to the Todd Stern Show. 844-747-8868 is how you can connect with us. Coming up just after the top of the hour, Florida Congresswoman Kat Kamick joins us on the program. Just before the break, we spoke with Ron, caller from North Carolina, and he was raising the idea that maybe with this election coming out the way it did in 2020, does that make everyone appreciate Donald Trump more so that if he were to return in 2024, then everybody will be behind him? I fear not, Ron. I'm sorry. I just fear not. The number of things that he called out that turned out to be right, it's a very long list. I even go back to in the summer of 2020, earliest days of the pandemic, he talked about, you know, we're going to have a vaccine later this year, and everyone laughed. Everyone on the left, everyone in what is now the formerly mainstream media, they all laughed. He's crazy. He's just coming up. He's making stuff up so he can win an election. Not even a week after Election Day, the pharmaceutical company said, oh, by the way, we have a vaccine. We have multiple companies with vaccines. We didn't want to say anything before the election because we didn't want to influence the election. No one bought that, right? I mean, they clearly withheld the information that he knew and he told us about in order to affect the election against Trump. What they meant to say was, we didn't want to say anything that might help Trump win. And the number of Republican office holders, some of whom I voted for over time, who were silent in the week after the election, not thrilled about that. I'm not thrilled about the number of people who supported him when he could do them some good and then bailed when he needed their support. I just think there is too large a segment of the old school country club Republican Party who would rather be in the minority than have Donald Trump be their leader. Now, that is contrary to what the American people want. The American people, the ones who actually vote and get in the way of the party pros' plans, they want America to be great. They enjoyed that four-year period. They would like to see four more years, at least. I just don't know if we can get past the election fraud and he is actually elected. I just don't know that there's going to be a team supporting him like Ron is hoping. I think there are plenty of people who either stayed home or did not vote for Mr. Trump in 2020, potentially because they didn't like the mean tweets. I will take mean tweets times 10 any day of the week as opposed to this absolutely embarrassing withdrawal from Afghanistan, this hideous reliance on quote-unquote clean energy when it is not practical at this point in time, and let's punish people for wanting to actually drive a car one place to another. And on the international stage, complete joke. This country is now made fun of. You know, they pointed it, laughed at Trump. You remember seeing this that went viral not long ago? When Trump said at the UN a few years ago, you know, you people, especially like you folks in Germany, you know, don't rely on Russia for your heating fuel. Come on, they're going to mess you over. And they literally laughed as he talked. Who is this boorish American to tell us? Well, it's a little cold there now without that Russian heating fuel. He's right again. So let me be clear about my response to Ron from North Carolina, who was kind enough to call in at 844-747-8868. You'd like to think that. You'd like to think that it would work. I just think some of these Republicans would rather have their own little power than government power. I got 2 minutes for Bill in Cordova listening on the Mighty 990. Bill, talk fast. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon. I wanted to just say this is kind of a sticky situation coming up with the next two elections. I think we're going to take the House, and I think we're going to take the Senate very easily. I also think Trump's going to win in 2024 if he decides to run, and I'll tell you why.
Yes.
You're right about the Congress and the Senate and Republicans that would rather have a little bit of power than have Trump in office, but I think a lot of those guys, including Mitch McConnell, may well be gone by then, so that's one thing. The other thing is I was at the gas station the other day, and I was next to this African-American woman at the next pump, and I talking about the prices, and I said, I don't know how you feel, and I don't want to offend you, but I sure do miss Trump. And she said, I didn't vote for him, but I sure do miss him. So there's a lot of people that are walking away from the Democrat Party that have to be accounted for in this next election. And I think even the people that fraudulently took the last election are probably having voters or cheaters remorse, because this is going to be a walkaway. I really do.
Boy, I hope you're right, Bill, and thanks so much for being kind enough to call in just under the wire from Cordova, listening on KWAM. I hope you're right, and yes, I do hear a lot of people who, obviously, they have cheater's remorse, and I think that's a great phrase, and we should use it here on this program every chance we get. I think there may be some folks with cheater's remorse, but it's one thing to say it in early 2022. It's another when it's November of 2024. I'm just saying, let's be cautious. Congresswoman Kamik joins us just after the top of the hour, as well as author Jason Riley, to talk about the truth about Donald Trump. Hope you're here as well. Jeff Stein in for Todd. Another hour coming up of the Todd Starn Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Todd Starnes. Oh,
yeah. Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to hour number two of a Friday edition of the Todd Starnes Show, coast to coast on more than 100 tremendous radio stations and streaming live at toddstarnes.com. Hello, fellow patriots. I'm Jeff Stein, coming to you from the free state of Iowa and my home base at News Talk 1540 KXEL in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo, the 50,000-watt blowtorch scorching middle America with accurate news and reasonable views. Todd is speaking in California again today. He'll be back in the mighty 990, the flagship, behind the microphone Monday. You and I get to have another couple of hours together on this Friday. Join us if you would, please. 844-747-8868. That's how you can connect with us here in the Liberty University studio. 844-747-8868. We'll take your calls in the next segment. But joining us now on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line is Congresswoman Kat Kamick from the great state of Florida. Congresswoman, Jeff Stein in for Todd. How are you today?
Hey, Jeff. We're doing great. Good to hear your voice and happy Friday.
And the same to you. I've not had the chance to talk to a member of Congress who actually was present in the hall when President Zelensky did that presentation the other day, I guess Wednesday. I talked about my thoughts on it in the last hour. Give me your impression as a member of Congress.
You know, sitting there watching President Zelensky address members of Congress, it was obviously a range of emotions. There's no doubt that he has become a passionate leader in the fight, and had it been anybody else, I don't think that Ukraine would be in the fight still. That being said, you know, there was, of course, the video that we all watched of what has taken place. You know, it was a pull at your heartstrings, rip it out of your chest, stomp on your heart, you know, emotions running high. But the plea of send more and also shut down the sky, I don't care how many videos you send me, I'm not ready to send young American men and women, sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers to Ukraine to start shooting down Russian jets. We're just, that's not our war. And I know that is a tough thing for a lot of people to hear, but when we're talking about a no-fly zone and implementing a no-fly zone, which is what has been asked of us, that is World War III. And there's no other nice way to put it. And I think American people, at the end of the day, they expect their leaders in Washington to be level-headed, pragmatic, thoughtful, and have America at front of mind and putting Americans first when we are talking about these very serious decisions that need to be made. So, of course, my heart breaks, and you know, we are doing what we can to support efforts in Ukraine, but at this point in time, despite the passionate and impassioned plea from President Zelensky, we're not ready to do what he's asking.
Saying you're going to have it, implementing it, that's easy. It's the enforcement, right? And as soon
exactly.
as there is a Russian plane that violates the airspace, the exchange that follows inevitably leads you to World War III. So is there a line, though, that you as a member of Congress say, okay, that's too far? In other words, as I think I heard you say, we're not there yet. It is not our fight to take that next step yet. Is there a line, though, arguably, that Putin just simply cannot cross?
Well, I mean, that puts us into the conversation about NATO, right? You know, as a NATO member, and we have a responsibility, and that's a conversation that should Putin step into that territory, that's going to be a line that can't be uncrossed. And
right.
those are the very serious discussions that are being had here on Capitol Hill. And for my colleagues who support a no-fly zone, I think they're a little trigger happy. I think that they don't understand the consequences of what they're talking about publicly. And this is a situation where we have seen through months and months of intelligence and briefings. I sit on Homeland Security, and I've been privy to several of the briefings within the intelligence community since my start in Congress. And I can tell you
that the intelligence community has been spot on in their assessment of what was going to happen, how it was going to happen, and how this has played out. The White House has been getting the exact same information, yet they chose to slow walk lethal aid. They've chose to have, half-assed measures and responding to Putin and aggression. And Biden's weakness has invited more aggression from the Russian Federation. And then to see what the Biden administration did in sharing intel with China, who turned around and gave it to Russia, this is all contributing to a situation where your words matter. Your actions matter, but your words matter too. And if you set a tone, and where we are at with this administration, I don't think anyone feels confident that we could manage an effective strategy and a withdrawal, a termination plan, in a battle in Ukraine. And so we are looking at, okay, if this administration keeps on with this, these half measures, how is this going to impact this aggression that we're seeing from Russia? And the war will be prolonged. You're going to start seeing, you know, more of the insurgency, urban warfare fighting playing out. And those images are going to be extraordinarily hard for Americans, heck, the world, to sit there and see and look at. But if we are to take action there, we have to then say, okay, we're going to take action everywhere in the world where these same situations and horrible, horrific acts are being taken place. And that puts us in a global conflict for the rest of our lives that will be perpetual. So I think the NATO conversation is where everyone is starting to pivot to, of we need to be prepared to uphold our responsibility and our end of the bargain. But like I said, I was in that hall. I was there to witness President Zelensky's remarks. And we are doing what the White House won't do, and that's having the very serious conversations that need to be had about what comes next.
Congresswoman Kat Kamick of Florida joining us on the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. So before the Olympics, Putin and Xi had a meeting in Beijing, and we see how that playbook has kind of worked its way through. Any confidence on your part that nearly a two-hour phone call between Biden and Xi today is going to lead to anything positive?
You know, I'm actually terrified of the phone call between Xi and Biden, because I think that when you see Biden in person, and I got to witness this firsthand at the State of the Union, This is a man who does not project strength. He does not project confidence. This, in my opinion, will be more detrimental than helpful. And when you look at what is happening globally, of course, Russia invading Ukraine has emboldened China to look at Taiwan and say, this might be an opportunity for us to take action now. And then Biden would have to turn around and explain to the world, why are we taking action with Taiwan but not in Ukraine? This would be an epic mess that I don't think people are prepared for. But more than that, you see what's happening as a result of the invasion with Ukraine. One thing that no one is talking about is the Iran deal that is being moderated by the Russians, As Biden wanted to bring the United States and Iran back to the negotiating table. But then you also have the situation where Ukraine produces the wheat for the Middle East. That is no longer happening. The last time that we had a disruption like this, there was the Arab Spring. People aren't paying attention to the ripple effect that is playing out across the globe in terms of disruptions and chaos that's ensuing. In fact, in Sri Lanka, there were major riots taking place now because of the supply chain disruptions. We're about to see some serious power structure shaking up, and people cannot take their eyes off the car crash that's happening in Ukraine, and rightfully so. But again, I go back to, does this president project strength against our largest enemy? Because China is not our friend. Let's be clear. They're not our friend. They are looking for a window of opportunity. And I think this phone call will solidify the Chinese thought process. And this is our time to act. America is weak. America has a feeble leader. and we have a chance to go in and fill that power vacuum that the world needs. That's I think, if I had to dig into the psyche of the chairman, it would be that.
Oh, there's no question that there's a new axis that's being formed, and it's between Moscow and Beijing. And you made such an excellent point. We are going to have global food issues, not just the energy issues, but to your point about Iran, we're begging Iran to give us oil. We're begging Venezuela to give us oil. That's not what the dominant power in the world ought to be doing, is going hat in hand to these dictatorships and being held hostage. But that's the position this administration has put us in.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I mean, I wish you could see my face right now, because it is in a perpetual twisted state of shock.
Yeah.
That we have all of the resources that we need, critical infrastructure resources in minerals and energy, underneath our feet. And this is a national security concern. When we have input costs, and I'm talking fertilizer and fuel in the ag sector, skyrocketing to 700%. That means that the ripple effect is going to be food prices skyrocketing, goods, services, everything is going through the roof. And instead of turning internally and saying, you know what, we're going to put America first, we're going to get people back to work, we're going to turn on the tap here that we know that we have in abundance, and we produce it cleaner, safer, and more efficiently than anywhere else in the world, instead this administration turns around and they go to Iran, who shouts death to America, death to Israel, who has no problem shooting off and then claiming a credit for a missile attack targeted at our consulate in Iraq just a week and a half ago. And then you turn to the socialist dictator Maduro in Venezuela, who doesn't give a damn about environmental concerns or human rights, and has been absolutely murdering what used to be a beautiful country. And he goes hat in hand and says, please help, give me a break. This is the most unacceptable behavior out of any administration. It's so bad that Biden makes Obama look good. That's how bad it is. And I'm so frustrated. I know so many of my colleagues are frustrated, but anger without action is political theater, which is why we have really focused on the legislative solutions to fill that leadership void and give common sense solutions moving forward. Just yesterday, we introduced an LNG exporting bill that would reauthorize the exporting of our LNG resources that we have in abundance here. That is a geopolitical tool to not only deliver lower gas prices here at home, but to get the necessary energy, critical infrastructure to our allies and neighbors so they aren't turning to places like Venezuela or Iran or other people who want to do harm and ill will across the world. This is where we need to be turning, and that's the solution. We've got them. Now we just need to get the majority back in Congress so we can deliver them.
So much good information that you've just imparted to us, Congresswoman. But the last thing, didn't your mama ever tell you, if you make that face too often, it'll stick? I'm a little worried if you're talking about, this shocked look. We don't need that.
You know, my husband tells me all the time, because my face tends to get all scrunched up when I'm thinking really hard. And he says, honey, you really got to work on that. You've got some interesting looks that people might take in a different way, if you know what I'm saying. But I think you do, Jeff.
I fully understand. I cannot play poker for that very same reason. Congresswoman, thank you for the time. I appreciate it. Always a privilege to talk to you, and continued efforts on behalf of these things you've talked about.
I appreciate you, Jeff. Have a wonderful rest of the day and a great weekend.
You as well. Congresswoman Kat Kamick, friend of the program, joining us on the Todd Starnes Show. She represents the great state of Florida. What say you? 844-747-8868. Join the conversation. Jeff Stein in for Todd in the Liberty University studio. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Back to the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Coming up after the bottom of the hour, Jason Riley, the author of a brand new book called The Black Boom, and it is going to tell you the truth about the Trump administration and how it impacted positively people of color. And again, I say he's going to tell the truth because you haven't heard that from the formerly mainstream media. Great conversation with Florida Congresswoman Kat Kamick in our last segment. If you missed it or would like to hear it again, wait a little while after the show is done in about 90 minutes and then go to toddstarns.com, click the podcast section, and that way you can listen to the Toddcast podcast of the show. And she joined us via the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, of course. Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. They share our beliefs, yes, but they actually do something about it. And talk about putting your money where your mouth is. Patriot Mobile donates a portion of every single dollar. A portion of every single dollar donated to organizations that fight for causes we care about. Now, if you switch to Patriot Mobile now and use promo code Todd, you'll not only get free activation, but also a free gift. Patriot Mobile, broadest nationwide coverage. They use the same towers the other carriers use, and they have plans that fit any budget. Here's an even better deal. Great discounts for veterans and first responder heroes, as well as multi-line users. So that works very nicely for those growing families. You can switch to Patriot Mobile in a rather easy way. Just go online to patriotmobile.com/Todd. T-O-D-D, or you can call their U.S.-based customer service team, thank you very much, at 972-PATRIOT. You get your special discount. You get your free premier activation, but you only get it by using promo code Todd. Once again, that's patriotmobile.com/Todd, or on the phone, it's 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT, and be sure to use promo code Todd. This program, of course, on 100-plus radio stations across the country. The live show blog is online at toddstarns.com. And follow Mr. Starnes on the Twitter and the Getter at Todd Starnes. I believe there's the live stream on the Getter as well. And that's at Todd Starnes. He's on Instagram at Todd Starnes FNC. And to just show you how things have gotten out of control in this world, I've got two phones here. One of them, I have my Getter app up. On the other, I have my Twitter app up. And you can follow me, if you care to, and I'd appreciate it, at Iowa Politics. That's I-O-W-A Politics. Follow me at Iowa Politics on Twitter and Getter and Parler and Instagram. And my website is totallyiowa.com, totallyiowa.com. That's where you can see the various books and DVDs I've done and also links to the three different podcasts that I do. If you're into podcasts, you can subscribe to those. Bottom of the hour break now. You're going to go to toddstarns.com and buy a copy of Our Daily Biscuit, and then you'll hear me talk with the author of another book called The Black Boom on the other side. Jeff Stein in for Todd. Thanks for being along on the Todd Starnes Show. Show continues. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd Starnes today. 844-747-8868 is how you can join us here in the Liberty University studio. We'll take your calls in the next segment, but now I'm pleased to welcome on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Jason L. Riley. Mr. Riley is the author of a number of books. The brand new one that was released about a month ago, I'm holding in my hand. It's called The Black Boom. Jason Riley, thanks for taking time. Jeff Stein in for Todd Starnes. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Thank you for having me on.
JasonRileyOnline.com is the website, by the way. This book is called The Black Boom. Tell me, what was the inspiration for putting pen to paper on this?
Well, I thought there was an underreported story to be told about the progress that blacks made economically during the first 3 years of the Trump administration. Blacks saw their wages rising at faster rates than white wages were rising. They saw record low unemployment. They saw record low poverty rates. And it's a story that the press largely ignored. They had determined very early on that Donald Trump was a bigot and that his policies would work to the detriment of low-income minorities in this country. And when that didn't happen, when the opposite happened, they downplayed or ignored the story. And I thought that more people should know about what actually happened, because a lot of us are sincerely interested in income inequality. And prior to the pandemic, it was actually shrinking significantly.
Well, some of us are interested in facts, and that's what you traffic in. And your facts in this book are irrefutable, but there are some in certain segments of society that don't want to hear what the facts show. What are the things that when you have, as I trust you do, have a spirited conversation occasionally with people who have a different political bent than Donald Trump or his supporters, what are some of the things that really surprise them when you trot out statistics?
Well, I think the one thing that surprises people is that, you know, tight labor markets work to the benefit of minorities much more so than a woke president and his policies. So a focus on wealth redistribution, a focus on increasing the size of the safety net, that's what the left sort of turns to help low-income minority groups. But in fact, if you go back in history, and not just under Donald Trump, what you see is that what these groups really need is a fast-growing economy. And then left to their own devices, they're able to take advantage of those tight labor markets and lift themselves up. That's what we saw, you know, after Kennedy cut taxes in the 60s, after Reagan cut taxes in the 80s, after George W. Bush cut taxes in the 2000s. The same thing happened, and it happened under Donald Trump again. And I think this is really a book. It's not a defense of Donald Trump's personality or Twitter feed or anything like that. It's a defense of free market economic policies, which, again, redound to the benefit of low-income minorities much more so than wealth redistribution and racial preferences.
You know, as I looked at this book, and I would concur, it's nonpartisan. You have facts here. You're not defending individuals. You're just stating the record and defending ideas. And what do you know? Capitalism works. I mean, yeah. That's something that shouldn't have to be proven in America, but in 2022, I guess it does have to. We have to remind people about it.
Yeah, you know, people forget how bad blacks had it economically under President Obama. You know, the black unemployment rate did not fall below double digits until the seventh year of the Obama presidency. Think about that. And then under Donald Trump, prior to the pandemic, it fell to record lows. Poverty fell to record lows for both blacks and Hispanics, and blacks saw their wages rising at faster rates than whites. I mean, I call it the black boom, but what we really saw under Trump prior to the pandemic was a working class boom. It just so happens that blacks and Hispanics are overrepresented among the working class. But if you look at the wage gains of the lowest income workers in this country, their wages rose at double the rate during the first 3 years of the Trump presidency than they did under the second term of President Obama. So this was not just a continuation of what was going on under Obama already. This was an acceleration, and I think it had a lot to do with his policies in cutting taxes, both income taxes and corporate taxes, and lightening regulations on businesses. People, these companies brought their money back to the U.S., invested it here, and that caused both more hiring and wage increases.
Obviously, there are some, because of partisanship, who can't stand to give Donald Trump credit for anything. And so, and you alluded to it, they say, well, you know, this was just Obama set the table and Trump benefited. But that's clearly not the case as supported by the data. And it's clearly not the case in terms of how this administration is looking to, quote unquote, fix things.
No, it's not. And you know, people think that Trump inherited this great economy. But in 2015, the second to last year of the Obama presidency, the economy was growing at 3.1%. But during the last year of the Obama presidency, 2016, growth fell by 50%. It grew at 1.6%. That is the economy that Donald Trump inherited. And the expectations at the time, coming from people like prominent economists like Larry Summers, who was President Clinton's Treasury Secretary, was predicting a recession. The Congressional Budget Office said jobs can't grow any faster. The Federal Reserve said jobs can't grow any faster, the economy can't grow any faster. They were all wrong. Donald Trump showed that there was still more to be gotten out of that business cycle. And so this is not just something that President Obama handed off to his successor, and no matter who would have become president next, we would have seen what we saw under Donald Trump. No, I don't believe that. That's the sort of heads I win, tails you lose argument, because if things had gone sideways during those first 3 years under President Trump, I doubt anyone would have been blaming Obama for what had happened. But they want to give him credit for what happened under Donald Trump.
Jason Riley is our guest on the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Mr. Riley is a journalist, author of this new book entitled The Black Boom, senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute and a columnist for the Wall Street Journal. All right, so as we look at the current situation, and you've documented in the book The Black Boom this resurgence for this group of people, the middle class, as you've mentioned, pre-COVID pandemic. Okay, so here we are in March of 2022. The pandemic is what it is. You now have this war in Ukraine. We have massive workforce issues, supply chain issues, rampant inflation. We can't find workers. The unemployment rate is dropping down. All right, so what's the recipe? If they were to call you from the Biden White House, don't sit by your phone, but if they were going to call you, what would be your recipe?
Well, I think you want to go back to the growth policies that we saw under Donald Trump, cutting taxes, growing the economy, and that's what we need. And instead, they seem to want to go back to the Obama-era policies of wealth redistribution and growing the size of the welfare state. That's what the whole Build Back Better plan was about. And, you know, not only expanding the welfare state for poor, they want government benefits to reach well into the middle class. The Democrats want to give people earning six figures government help. And I think that's exactly the wrong thing right now. You mentioned the labor shortage we have. To the extent that we are growing the size of the welfare state, you only exacerbate that welfare, that job shortage plan, that labor shortage situation that we have right now. You're giving people an incentive not to return to the labor force. That's the last thing we want to do right now. If we have fewer workers, we're going to be less productive as a country. And so that's what this whole effort to expand the size of the government and the size of the welfare state is so troublesome to me, because we have a labor shortage right now, and that should not be where our focus is.
Well, if you don't have people working, then you don't have people paying taxes, and you don't have people supporting the welfare state. That's the part of the equation that they seem to forget. I have been intrigued by the concept of the minimum wage, and where I live in Iowa, I see signs all over the place where they're looking for workers at fast food joints and convenience stores and every other place, and it's double, if not more than double, the minimum wage. And my argument is, if you've got a workforce shortage, you offer people more money. It doesn't matter what the minimum wage is. The minimum wage actually artificially keeps the wages down for people. Am I missing something? I mean, do we even need a minimum wage anymore?
Well, I think we should stop raising, and I think you're pricing people out of the labor force, particularly less skilled, less experienced workers, younger workers, a disproportionate number of whom happen to be minorities. So I don't think it's helping their situation. A lot of people pointed to these minimum wage hikes as the reason for the wage gains that I cited earlier, but I don't buy that argument either. I mean, you really have a quantitative problem there, which is that so few people earn the minimum wage among the workers. I think nationwide it's maybe 2 or 3% of the workforce that earns the minimum wage. Even at the, and of course the state wages can, minimum wage can be higher, but even there you're only going to get about 6 or 7% of wage earners earning the minimum. There just aren't enough of those workers to be driving the trends that we saw. The other thing, problem with it, with that argument, is that a minimum wage is a one-off. A minimum wage hike is a one-off. If a state like Oregon says, you know, on January 1st, 2019, we're going to lift our minimum wage, well, you would expect wages to go up in January. You would not expect them to continue going up in February and March and April and so forth, which is what we saw under Donald Trump. So I don't think these wage hikes, these minimum wage hikes, are the reason we saw the wage gains that we saw under Donald Trump. The other thing is, you know, there are trade-offs to raising the minimum wage. If you make the minimum wage and the floor is increased, yes, you will make more money, provided A, you keep your job, and B, that you keep working the same number of hours that you were working before the wages went up. And when I looked at places like Seattle in the book, which had lifted their wage floor, what happened was people received fewer hours to work. And at the end of the day, they were earning less money than they were under the lower minimum wage. So you have to keep in mind that there are trade-offs when you lift the minimum wage.
Well, and in addition to everything you just said, which is spot on as far as I'm concerned, let's say that I have people working for me now at $10 an hour, which is above the minimum wage. If you increase the minimum wage to $10 an hour, those people are going to say, well, I want a raise, And then the people who were making a little more than that are going to want to raise as well. Yeah. And I suppose those who say power to the workers, well, that's wonderful, except where's the money going to come from? And to your point, which I think people always forget, if you raise the minimum wage and I have a fixed budget for payroll, I'm not going to have as many workers.
Exactly. Exactly. And that is another trade-off. You know, people point to the minimum wage as a sort of an anti-poverty measure, but most people who are poor already make more than the minimum wage. And the most people who make the minimum wage are not poor. They're not the sole breadwinner in the family and so forth, even though they become the poster child for raising the minimum wage. I mean, so it's as an anti-poverty instrument, it's a very blunt one and very imprecise one. What you want, when you look at poor families, what you see, the problem you see is that there are no workers. Not that there are workers only making the minimum wage. What poor people need are jobs more than a raise. And so to the extent that the minimum wage is pricing people out of the labor market and resulting in less hiring, you are not helping poor people.
What's been the response, finally, to this book? And I appreciate you taking an extended time to talk to us about it, but what's been the reaction to your book, The Black Boom?
It's been fairly positive to the extent that it's gotten attention. But, I spend a fair amount of time in the book shaming the media for their behavior. I was not an initial supporter of Donald Trump, but I did feel that as a journalist, I had to cover what he did objectively. And when he did things that were beneficial, when he kept his promises, I thought I should say as much in my writings and my commentary about the administration. But many of my fellow journalists decided to cover Donald Trump differently than the way they had covered previous presidents and previous administrations. And I thought, frankly, it was journalistic malpractice. They decided, we are not just going to cover this president, we are going to resist him. We are going to take down this administration. And I thought that was appalling. I don't know how the media is going to get their credibility back. They didn't have much to begin with. But you can't just turn this on and off like a light switch and say, oh, we have a new president, so we'll go back to covering presidents the way we used to. It doesn't work that way. There's going to be a trust deficit with the media, and I don't know how long it's going to take them to dig themselves out of this hole.
Jason Riley, thank you so much. This was a great conversation. I really appreciate you doing the book, which is called The Black Boom, and talking with us today coast to coast on The Todd Starnes Show. Have an excellent weekend, sir.
Thank you.
Jason Riley, he's online at, get this, jasonrileyonline.com. Somebody put some thought into that, didn't they? It's his fifth book, and it's called The Black Boom. What a great defense to the misrepresentations that have been made by others. The Black Boom, Jason Riley, the author. He joined us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Why don't you join us at 844-747-8868? Your call's on the other side of this break. Jeff Stein in for Todd, and this is The Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today from the Liberty University studio. ToddStarnes.com is the website. Todd is on Gitter and Twitter at Todd Starnes. He's on Instagram at Todd Starnes FNC. You can follow me on Gitter, Twitter, Parler, and Instagram, all the same address, at Iowa Politics. That's at IOWA Politics, and my website is totallyiowa.com. Yeah, I used to do some business, I'll call it business. I was doing a syndicated program, and one of the sponsors was an existing organization for persons above the age of 50. Okay, you know what I'm talking about? This was the long-standing organization, and they seemed like nice enough people. But boy, have they found a way to get political in ways that just don't work for me. I'd say they lost their way. It started with Obamacare, and it's just gotten worse. And that is why another organization has been formed that is taking a stand for our America, for the values that this nation was built on. And I, of course, am talking about AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens. AMAC is standing up for you and the future of America. They are the conservative voice for mature Americans. AMAC stands up for the causes that all of us who love freedom and love this country share. When you join AMAC, you'll be part of a membership force of 2.3 million and growing quickly. They share your values, and you'll receive exclusive benefits that you can actually use that mean something to you. We're talking about discounts on travel, cell phone plans, much more. So go to amac.us/starns, and then you can join or renew your membership online. It's AMAC, A-M-A-C, amac.us/starns. For just $16 a year. Are you kidding me? I brought bagels to my radio station yesterday, and it cost me more than $15, and these vultures devoured them before I even could turn around. That was $15 and some change. You're telling me for $16 I could have had a year of membership in AMAC? I need to pay closer attention to the pieces of paper I have in front of me. $16 a year, you can be a member of AMAC. It is time, friends, to protect faith, family, and freedom. You can do that by joining AMAC today. Go to AMAC, AMAC.us/starns. And yet again, take a stand for the country you love, America. We are going to talk in the next hour with a candidate for Congress who loves America, and that's why she's on the ballot. And I hope we talk to you as well. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd. Come on back. Hour number three coming up of the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to Hour 3 of a Friday edition of the Todd Starnes Show. Coast to coast on more than 100 outstanding radio stations and streaming live, along with the live show blog at toddstarnes.com. Hello, fellow patriots. This is Jeff Stein coming to you from the free state of Iowa and my home base at Starnes Media Affiliate, News Talk 1540, KXEL in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo, the 50,000-watt blowtorch scorching middle America with accurate news and reasonable views. This is a wonderful opportunity. This program, this radio microphone, the podcast, the digital platform, it's a great way for someone like Todd Starnes to spread common sense conservatism across the country and halfway around the world. But sometimes you've got to go meet the people face to face. I know I'm taking the day off from my radio show in Iowa Tuesday to talk to some folks at a community gathering. So sometimes you have to step away from the microphone to meet people one-on-one, and Todd has been spending much of this week in California talking first to some college students and then at a YAF high school workshop at the Reagan Ranch. So he is still working. Trust me, he is still working and delivering that message that sometimes you hear here on the radio. He's doing it face-to-face. So we wish him Godspeed on his travels back to the flagship at the Mighty 990 in Memphis. He'll be behind the mic on Monday. One more hour of you and I getting together between now and the weekend. And we don't care that this is Friday. There's no dress down Friday. There's no halfway working. We've got a full list, and we're willing to take your calls and talk about all of these important issues at 844-747-8868. Same number you're used to using, it's 844-747-8868, and you can join this conversation where we're at here in the Liberty University studio. Last hour, we were talking briefly about the fact that President Biden and President Xi had a phone call, video conference, some kind of technology, spoke for nearly 2 hours today about the situation in Ukraine, and I just don't know what good could have come of it. Now, let me be very clear. Yes. You need to have these conversations. World leaders need to talk about such things. But I just don't see how in the world anything that came from this White House is going to lead the president of China, as declared in their governmental system, the president of China. He's not going to hear anything from Joe Biden and say, wow, you're right. I'm going to stop playing footsie with Vladimir Putin. Oh, my, that was an image. I'm sorry. It just kind of came out. I'm not going to keep playing footsie with him. We're going to separate this little axis of evil that we're creating over here. Thank you, President Biden, for helping me see my way clear. No, not at all. And I don't think even the most optimistic Democrats would have thought that any amount of tough talking by Joe Biden was going to do anything other than fill space in the room. The reality of the situation is, China's not afraid. Russia is not afraid. That's why they've been talking and scheming and planning, and that's why if I'm in Taiwan, I am totally scared to death. Because who's going to stop China? Who's stopping Russia other than brave Ukrainians? It's not this White House leading the way. Quite clearly, if anything, it's members of Congress. And I don't agree with the Democrat majority there, but as you heard in our prior hour with Congresswoman Kat Kamick of Florida, I mean, it's members of Congress taking the lead on so much of this. If you missed that conversation, by the way, wait about an hour, then go to toddstarns.com, and you can click on the Toddcast podcast link, and you can listen to any of the program again. Download it, share it with your friends, whatever you need to do to get the message out. Do that on a regular basis, toddstarns.com, the Toddcast podcast. We don't change the name just because someone else is here, because there's no rhyming with Jeffcast. Toddcast, that rhymes with podcast. Okay. In any event, the Congress is the body that's approving things. The White House is just fumbling and stumbling along on all this. So I don't have any confidence whatsoever that anything good came of that meeting with Xi today, Biden and Xi. And as Congresswoman Kamick said, she's just hoping nothing bad happened. Boy, that's a great position, isn't it? That's leadership. When your president goes into a meeting and you're saying, please God, make sure he doesn't screw things up. Make sure there's not a shooting war that starts before he leaves the room for his morning warm milk or whatever. That's a bad position. We had a caller to the program yesterday who took offense to many things that Donald Trump said or did. And I understand some have a contrary view. The only thing I know is, for that four-year period, nobody attacked our interests. There was no military action under Donald Trump. Now, is it because some of these places said, holy cow, that guy's nuts. We don't know what he'll do. I don't care. All I know is we did not stand on the precipice of World War III. We do now. All I know is that Vladimir Putin did not go into Crimea until Obama and Biden were in the White House. And he did not go into Ukraine until Biden and Harris were in the White House. If you can refute that, go ahead. I don't know that you can. 844-747-8868 if you'd like to try. You give me a lot of other background reasons, and you can talk about personality and all of that. That's great. I get it. But there was a very different track record by these aggressor nations. Anytime Joe Biden was around the White House. And they all know that he took the wrong side of history, was on the wrong side of history, took the wrong choice on so many things. Hey, should we get bin Laden? No, I don't think so, Barack. Okay, well, if Joe says we shouldn't, then we definitely are going to do it. Has he really gotten to the point where whatever Joe Biden says, just do the opposite? I don't know. All I know is I pray every day for his health and success, because Kamala Harris would be infinitely worse. And I want our nation to succeed strongly. I don't think the team's in place to do that, and so in which case, then I'm just lowering my expectations. Just don't screw it up so bad that it can't be retrieved. Don't drive it into the ditch so bad that we can't recover. That's a very real fear right now. A very real fear. Some of it is because of international affairs, but those don't happen in a vacuum. There's a foundation laid for why people like Xi or Putin do what they do. And Biden may not have caused it, but his lack of strength certainly was a factor in their timing of such things. They didn't dare try it for 4 years. Hopefully, they won't try it again in the next president's administration. And by that, I mean one that would start after the 2024 election. But as we've discussed many times when you and I, Starnes Nation, have been together, if we don't have election integrity, we have nothing. I am tired of, and actually there are some Republicans I've talked to on my program, and I've heard them on this program as well, where they're sounding the alarm. They're saying, hey, the election in 2022 is not a slam dunk. We have to work for it. I am, frankly, very tired of some of these politicians who act like they're measuring the Speaker of the House's office to put in new drapes. How about you win the election first? It is not a foregone conclusion. Forget the election fraud issue, which we can't forget because it's so important, but just put it aside for a moment. Just because polls look a certain way now, just because the shape of the nation, the course of the nation is on the wrong track now, doesn't mean you're going to win the election. That's not enough. You have to have ideas. You have to say, I mean, this is fundamental about any change in a government. This, what I'm about to tell you, friends, works whether you're talking about your city council, your school board, or the White House, and everything in between. People voted, well, apparently, supposedly, voted for whoever's in office. Okay? We can't be sure of that anymore, but let's just go with it for the moment. People voted for that person. They are inclined to vote for that same person again. That's why the re-election rate in this country has been huge from the beginning of time. Because think about it. If you voted for someone, subconsciously you don't want to admit that you made a mistake. That's a pretty big ask. So the key here, if you want to unseat an incumbent, is you first have to set the table, understanding that people who voted for that person have the personal sense of pride that they don't want to admit a mistake. All right, so what you have to do is first say, look, we need to not have that person. You need to consider an open mind with this next election. That's the first thing you do. But that's just the first thing you do. You have to come to the table with ideas. Parties and candidates who want to replace people who are there have to have agendas of what they will do. That's how you make the sale. You open the door and open the mind of a voter by pointing out the wrong direction that the current leaders are taking you. But they may be open to consider someone else, but they won't actually flip the switch. And subconsciously admitting they were wrong before, they're not going to do that unless you, as a party or a candidate, seal the deal with real ideas of what you're going to do. This is why the Democrats in Washington right now, it's a clown car with tragic consequences. Because the only thing they had in common was, we have to beat Donald Trump. Okay, now what? What's your plan? Their only plan was, well, we're not Trump. Great. But now what? Now this is why they can't govern. They have no ideas. They have no plan. So for all of the Republicans, including folks listening, who think this is going to be a slam dunk, Republicans kind of have a reputation for not getting out of their own way sometimes. Do not snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. All right, you need to actually work the program, work the plan. Now, you may say, okay, well, that's nice. That's nice, guy on the radio. But what can I do? I'll tell you when we come back. 844-747-8868 is how you can join this conversation from the Liberty University studio. It's 844-747-8868. We'll take your calls if you'd like to make them on the other side of this break. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Thanks for staying here on the Todd Starn Show.
The Venture X card from Capital One gives you more of what you love, like premium travel benefits and access to Taylor Swift tickets. Ooh, I do love her. Earn 5x miles on flights and 10x miles on hotels through Capital One Travel.
Enjoy your stay in Suite 13.
Whoa, 13? That's Taylor's lucky number. Plus, get access to Taylor Swift The Eras Tour, presented by Capital One. Maybe I'll see you there. The Venture X card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes program. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. ToddStarnes.com is the website where you can follow along on the live show blog, and also it's a great place for news and information. Why not subscribe to the free Todd Starnes e-newsletter? Shows up in your email box right after the show every weekday. I always look forward to it because it has all the links to all the important stories. You can sign up for that by going to ToddStarnes.com. All right, before the break, I suggested we need to not presume that this is going to be an election that is going to be a landslide. We just can't trust it. You can't take anything for granted. You have to outwork everybody. Look at the consequences of the last election. So you don't give up, you double down. So the first thing you do is you vote. That's probably elemental to people in this audience, but you vote. The second thing is you make sure everybody you know is informed and also votes. I have been struck by the fact that there are so many people who are bright, intelligent people who actually just don't bother to vote. Now, I know if you're listening to this program, you can't imagine such a thing. Just start asking around. What about your hairdresser? What about the contractor who fixes something in your basement? How many of these people actually do vote? There's always a good excuse. Well, I got kids, I'm busy, etc. How about getting them to vote? Because guess what? They all pay taxes. That's the best way for people to come aboard. Hey, you pay taxes? You want a say in how this is done? How about voting? It's the simplest thing you can do. And it's the way you kind of make sure things go the way you want. So you have to vote. You have to get people around you to vote. But it's more than that. We worry about election integrity, and I have said before, and I maintain again, and I don't care how many times some of these platforms will block me from saying it, election integrity is the number one issue in 2022. It is not the economy. It is not COVID. It is not a war in Ukraine. It's election integrity. Because if we don't get that right, nothing else is going to matter. So what can you do to enhance election integrity? Maybe be a poll watcher or an election worker. You see these people. Some of them are volunteer positions. Some are paid positions. How about you take a day and do that? In other words, don't you trust yourself better than anybody else? Probably. So why not trust that you can keep an eye out for any shenanigans? What about working for candidates? Well, I don't have time. Okay, do you have a few dollars to where maybe you can donate to campaigns? We like to bring a lot of folks on this program, and there'll be a perfect example of it right after this bottom of the hour break. Folks who are running for Congress from around the country, and they need your help. And so I tell people on my program back in Iowa, I bring people on from around the country. Because you might feel good about your representation in your home state, but how about helping somebody else out? You know, if you live in a solidly red state, that's great, but how about helping flip some of these blue seats red? Maybe it's volunteering time. Maybe it's giving some money. Maybe it's talking up the person. Maybe you have relatives in a certain congressional district and they've got a strong candidate and you want to let people know, hey, here's some fact-based data that explains why you ought to be involved. Friends, in other words, it's not enough to listen to the radio. It's not enough to call the radio. We love that. It's not enough to vote. We're in a battle for the soul and future of this nation. It's going to take everyone doing more than just voting. You know, in the old days, you could go in and say, there you go, cast the ballot, get the little sticker that says I voted, and then say, I've done my part. That now is the minimum. Every single one of us has to do more. By the way, I take that I voted sticker. I always put it on the phone in my office. I've got a landline desk phone in my office at the radio station, and I put the sticker there because I want to remember every single day how important that is. It's not enough to just vote. You have to do more. 844-747-8868. We have a guest running for Congress in the next block. We'll take your calls after that. Jeff Stein in for Todd. This is the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back to the Todd Stern Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. He'll be back on Monday. 844-747-8868. That's how you can join this coast-to-coast conversation taking place in the Liberty University studio on this Friday. We'll take your calls in the next segment. But joining us now on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line is Dr. Mariella Rocha. She is a candidate for United States Congress from the state of Maryland. Online, it's rocaforcongress.com. That's R-O-C-A, rocaforcongress.com. Dr. Rocha, Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Thanks for coming on. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for not only your service to the nation in uniform, but also putting yourself out there as a candidate, taking on a well-known incumbent. First of all, let's introduce your background, introduce you to this national audience.
Yes, thank you. You know, like you mentioned, I'm running in Maryland's 8th Congressional District, currently held by Jamie Raskin. I'm a mom of two. I've got two kids, 14 and 10. I am an Air Force veteran. I specialized in medical logistics, so I actually know a little thing or two about supply chain. I served in Afghanistan in 2007, and I am currently a government contractor working on a VA contract, also doing medical logistics, and in my 37 years, the majority of my adult life has been public service, and this is why I want to continue.
You have quite an impressive resume, and you probably did not hear, but in the past segment, we were talking about how people across the country should get involved in campaigns across the country, because yes, the Republicans are never going to take a strong majority unless everybody helps out everywhere. What led you to say this is the next logical step in your public service career?
I think it's what's been going on in this country and the things that are happening, and just me being a mom of two small kids, you know, as a parent, you want the best for your kids. And I really genuinely think that the path that we're going is not going to end up for our kids. You see what's going on now with inflation and the economy, Biden's policies on American energy production, and the war in Ukraine. You know, gas prices are through the roof, and that directly affects all of us, even myself. I have an SUV. I have a Tahoe. It's a fairly bigger vehicle. It cost me $110 2 days ago to fill up my tank.
Oh, wow. That's just amazing.
Crazy. I mean, and thankfully I work from home, but could you imagine the person that has to work two and three jobs and has to get around? They have no choice. And you have Democrats saying, oh, it's okay, go buy an electric vehicle. Well, electric vehicles are not cheap. And the ones that are cheap only get you like 2 miles. It's not going to do you any good.
I'm looking, and again, go to rocaforcongress.com, R-O-C-A, rocaforcongress.com. I'm looking at the map of District 8. I could not have gerrymandered a more convoluted, odd district if I tried. This is obviously an uphill battle, right? I mean, they've set this up so that the incumbent can just sit back and put his feet up.
Yeah, that's exactly what they did. And we're in the middle. I don't know how much you've heard Maryland's in the middle of a couple court battles because of the redistricting. Governor Hogan didn't sign the map that was put forward, and the General Assembly, which is currently 100% Democrat run, basically did their own map, and it basically looks exactly the same. There's one that's a little bit worse, the 3rd District, which is kind of over in Baltimore, which is actually the most gerrymandered. Ours is still bad, but that one's bad.
Oh, goodness. We are speaking with Dr. Mariella Rocha. She is a veteran, she is a mom, and she'd like to also add the word congresswoman to that title. She's running in the state of Maryland. Joining us on the Todd Starnes Show, Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. All right, so there got to be a tipping point where you said, it's time, I have to stand up. So if you are a member of Congress, what can you do? What's your platform for fighting back against the malfeasance of the Biden administration?
Yeah, so, and one of the things I wanted to mention, you know, I think one of the tipping points where I said this is what I need to be doing is the failures of the Biden administration, especially the withdrawal of Afghanistan. Me being in there myself, it was very disheartening to see the chaotic and poorly executed withdrawal. So that's one of the things. Our foreign policy has to be on point. We're seeing it now with the war in Ukraine and how weak we look to the rest of the world. Inflation and economy, we've got to get back on track. We've got to be energy independent. And that's one of the things that I'm going to fight for is, you know, it doesn't make sense to me that we're not more energy independent here in the U.S. and we're buying oil from other countries. It doesn't make any sense.
No, it certainly doesn't, especially when we're held hostage by those nations, because normally we wouldn't want to give them the time of day like Venezuela, but then we come hat in hand. This is no way to be the most powerful nation on the planet.
It's not. And I was actually at an event last night, and I sat at a table with a gentleman from Venezuela, and that every time I run into someone that it has come from socialist countries like Venezuela and Cuba, they tell me the exact same thing. This country does not know what it means to live in a socialist country, and you do not want that.
We're speaking with Mariella Rocha. She is running for Congress out of the state of Maryland. RocaForCongress.com, R-O-C-A, RocaForCongress.com, and right there on the website, Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and everything we do these days. All right, by the end of this weekend, it's 100 days until your primary, near as I can count. So what's the game plan to be the nominee, first of all? What's the game plan to get to that point and have the momentum you need in November?
So the game plan is exactly what we've been doing. We're making phone calls. We're sending text messages. Anyone that goes on my website to sign up for the newsletters, you're going to get updates as soon as they come out. Donations and fundraising is the biggest thing. Everything really does cost money. And just like we're seeing it at the grocery store, running a campaign and printing materials, you know, the prices are going up. And I'm really confident in the feedback that we've received already. But we're really, really, what's going to help us is get those donations so we can actually get a mailer out to all the Republicans, registered Republicans in the district. I'm pretty confident that we're going to do great in the primary, but we just got to make sure we're on top of it and have that momentum that's going to take us to November to get Jamie Raskin out of the seat. I know we can do it. I just need everyone's help.
If you go to RocaForCongress.com, not only can you learn about this excellent individual, excellent candidate, but there's a button right there that says donate. And if you're so inclined to try to help the future of our nation and the Republican Party in Maryland, you might want to click on that. All right, so let's assume that you're part of a wonderful red wave. I know you're not supposed to look ahead. Your manager tells you don't look ahead, but I'm going to tell you to look ahead. So you're part of a wonderful freshman class, a red wave, takes control of the House. What is among the top things that you personally think you want to advance? What are you going to advocate to leadership in terms of something very specific or important to you?
Definitely veterans and military families. As a veteran myself, I get my care through the VA, and I see how difficult it is. And we've got way too many veterans that are homeless. There should not be one homeless veteran in this country, in my opinion. We've got to work on inflation and the economy. As I mentioned earlier, I'm going to work towards getting more money in the pockets of Americans. Jamie Raskin is a radical progressive who supported all this outrageous spending and wants to spend even more. That, in the end, doesn't help us. And we've got to work on our kids' education. You know, our kids are the future. and I'm a mom of two, and I want to know that my kids are being taught, and I want to ensure it's appropriate and that they're safe in school. That's what every parent in this country wants.
What's been the reaction when people that you have known throughout your life, and you say, I'm running for Congress and I'm a Republican? You get any pushback? There are certain stereotypes about who should be a Democrat. I'm not trying to be indelicate, but you know what I'm talking about.
No, yes, I've gotten that, you know, and unfortunately that's part of being in the public eye. People are pretty mean sometimes, and they want to pigeonhole you. For my family and friends, it's been pretty, that really hasn't happened. It's just been people that I meet, and, you know, I just explain to them that these are my values. I'm for family, liberty, and economic prosperity, and that's why I'm a conservative Republican. And after that, it kind of clicks in their head, and they're like, oh, okay, I get it.
Oh, geez, you confront them with facts, and all of a sudden it makes perfect sense. That is wonderful. It's been a fun conversation. I wish you all the best in your attempt to flip that seat in the 8th District in Maryland. Good luck in the primary and then later in the general election.
Thank you so much, Jeff. I hope you have a great weekend, and thanks for having me.
You have an excellent weekend yourself. Dr. Mariella Rocha, R-O-C-A, rocaforcongress.com is the website. She's trying to get rid of Jamie Raskin. That's good cause, isn't it? She's got a donate button there, videos, oh, all manner of things. And by the way, the next time someone says to you, well, this is a Republican. No, this is a Republican, the woman we just spoke to. This is a Republican. This is the face of the Republican Party right there. And that's what's going to lead to victory if we can trust the count of the votes. 844-747-8868. She joined us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. I hope you use the phone number I just gave you, 844-747-8868. Time for a few calls on the other side of this final break of the final hour of the final workday of the week. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Back down with the final segment of this hour of the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. Todd has been in California this week speaking to college students, high school students. Knowing him, he's probably striking up conversations in the hotel lobby, spreading the good word of common sense conservatism wherever he goes, and that means back to Memphis, so that he can be behind this microphone on Monday. My privilege to fill in the last 2 days. Thanks so much to Kevin. Thanks so much to Grace for handling things at the Mighty 990 and making this so easy for me today. I don't know. I told you a little bit yesterday about I took a trip. It was an overnight trip. I don't usually travel because I just hate to do it. And it was a car trip, and I could have taken my pillow along because that has just totally changed my life. Because I used to have such a difficult time sleeping. My wife said, why don't you get one of those My Pillows? This has now been several years. She said, why don't you get one of those My Pillows they talk about on the TV and the radio? And I, of course, in my normal optimistic fashion, said, well, that'll never work. Well, she got it, and it was just instantaneous change. And I was on the road last week for a few days, went to a very nice hotel. I did not take My Pillow with me. I will not make that mistake again. My Pillow and Mike Lindell revolutionizing sleep. And now let's talk towels, okay? Hotel towels are, they are what they are. They're used a lot. And you have the same issue at home. You buy towels and you think they ought to last forever, but at some point they just don't dry you anymore. They're worn out. Even the ones you go buy, these days they feel good. And I've had the same experience. Oh, these feel really good. You get them home and it's like, well, this is garbage. This isn't doing what I need it to do. Okay, Mike Lindell at MyPillow found out, I guess about 15 years ago now, a different philosophy. And he found the towel company based here in the USA that has proprietary technology to create towels that, yes, feel soft, but they actually work. What a fantastic concept. All made with USA cotton. They all come with the MyPillow 60-day money-back guarantee. And this is an amazing deal. What I'm about to tell you about usually costs $109.99, so $110. You're going to save so much, you can buy multiple sets. What was $109.99 is now just $39.99. What are you going to get for that? How about a six-piece set of MyPillow towels? That's two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. They're soft but absorbent. They're made with USA cotton. You get the whole six-piece set for $39.99? Are you kidding? Go to MyPillow.com. Check the Radio Listener Special section. That's how you get deep discounts on all the MyPillow products, including these towels, but you only get it if you enter the promo code STARNS. Once again, it's MyPillow.com. Promo code STARNS, or if you prefer the telephone and want to talk to a real human being, you can do that. 800-839-8506. I'll say again, 800-839-8506. But you have to use promo code STARNS, and that's how you get all of those great MyPillow specials, including that towel offer. Well, we don't just take Fridays off around here. We have full agendas. And, you know, some people just kind of do a half-baked effort on Fridays because they're looking ahead to the weekend. We don't do that. But I do have in our remaining couple of moments something that I want to dispel a rumor. Todd has been in California this week. We know that. He has the speaking engagements. We know that. There is no truth to the rumor that he is shopping for real estate. Because while this would be befitting a man of his stature, the price tag might even be a little steep for him. I found this, that there is a home that has been used as the set for some very famous motion pictures and TV shows. For example, you might remember the home in the movie Basic Instinct with Sharon Stone and Michael Douglas, the house, the home. That's a real home. It was also used as the set for an HBO series, Big Little Lies, that apparently starred Reese Witherspoon and Nicole Kidman. This is pop culture, so I don't really know what I'm reading you that. So it's a very famous house. And they have refurbished it. It's 12,000 square feet. It has 5 bedrooms, 9 bathrooms, 12 fireplaces. So that's one fireplace per 1,000 square foot, 2 kitchens. And all of that is on 2 acres. There's a pool, a spa, a grotto, 2-story library, gourmet main kitchen, views of the Pacific Ocean, etc., etc. And it only goes for $29.625 million. So I will tell you, Todd is not shopping for that house. He's probably not even visiting. Knowing Todd, he's busy working right now if he's not talking to those students. And I can tell from Twitter and Gitter he's been active since we've been on the air today. But there you go. You can buy the Basic Instinct house, and it'll only set you back $29.625 million. You know, you could probably get it for $29.4 million, you know, if you really squeeze them down a little bit. $30 million house? In California? No. I don't think so. I don't think that's going to happen. Can you imagine the property taxes on that? Can you imagine how long it would take you to actually see all of the house? That would be your fitness regimen every day. You just get up and travel around every room of the house. And then you're tired out. Then you've burned all the calories for the day. I have had, as always, a tremendous time talking with you folks in Starnes Nation. And again, thanks to everyone at KWAM Radio. Thanks to Todd Starnes for having the confidence to let me take charge of this. You know, when you do radio and you have a program that has your name on it, that's your baby. That's yours. And so I never take for granted when the call comes and they say, could you fill in for Todd? That's a big responsibility. And so it's always my job to just kind of drive the car slowly down the road and not crash into another vehicle. And hopefully we've done that. From the Liberty University studio. Again, thanks to everyone, and thanks to all of you for being here. I'm so grateful. Have a blessed weekend, America. Todd's back on Monday. I'm Jeff Stein, and you have been listening to The Todd Starnes Show.